Man, I believe that what we say, God is going to start to cause to happen. Amen? All right. You ready? Here we go. Victory Christian Fellowship is a growing, thriving, and flourishing body of believers. We praise God and we have favor with government, businesses, and people in our region. God is adding to us daily such as should be saved. We love to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are soul winners for God. We prosper and are healthy as our soul prospers. We feed on the Word of God, and the entrance of the Word gives light. Victory Christian Fellowship lacks nothing and has a full supply to do all that we are called to do. God supplies our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our God is El Shaddai, and He is more than enough, all-sufficient, almighty. We proclaim and demonstrate the love of God. We prefer others before ourselves. We obey the command of the Lord to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Each of us allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We trust Him to bring us into all truth. He shows us things to come. We are the Lord's sheep, and we hear His voice, and we do not follow any other voice. Our church has been given ministry gifts that are for the maturing of the saints. We are edified and built up, and we are no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We do the work of the ministry. We are unified in faith, and we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We have been given God's divine power to receive all we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord, and we are partakers of His divine nature, and we escape the corruption in the world. At Victory Christian Fellowship, we are inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to be dreaming about those words. Instead of counting sheep, you can count the verses as they pass by. Well, how many are excited about the Word tonight? Amen? Where would we be without the Word? We'd be in trouble. Thank God. And we're going to begin a new series tonight. And I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And I want you to look at verse 14. Yeah, the Pittsburghers are in Tennessee. So we're just going to get right into it tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The Bible says, "For as many as," say "as many as." It says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Aren't you glad He said the Spirit of God? Amen? You know there's other kind of spirits in the world, right? There's the spirit of Antichrist, and there are evil spirits. And so He specified that one quality or one characteristic it means to be a child of God is that you are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, how many know what it means to be under the influence of something? You know, if someone drinks alcohol and they're driving and they see red and blue lights in their rearview mirror and they get pulled over, what are they going to get? They're going to get a DUI, and that stands for driving under the influence. And in that case, a person under that influence is their... they submit themselves to alcohol and they allow alcohol to control them. And they come under its influence. Now, to be led by the Spirit means to come under His influence. All right? Isn't that what it means to be a leader, to have influence over a group of people? That word led, it means to lead. By implication, to bring, to drive, to go, to induce, to carry, to keep, to lead away, to be open. And the Bible tells us here that as many as, you know, not everybody is led by the Spirit. You know, we can be led by all kinds of things in this world. You know, you can be led by your emotions, what you feel. If it feels good, do it. You can be led by how it makes you feel. You could be led by other things, you know. Well, I'm doing this to please this person, or I'm doing that to please that person. Well, whoever said that we should be a people pleaser? Now, we should try to do our best, but guess what? How many has found out that you can't please everybody? Amen? So you might as well just focus on pleasing God. Okay? Now let's go back to Romans, the first verse of that chapter, verse 1. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Say, no condemnation. Who is not condemned? It says, to them which are in Christ Jesus. So those who are in Christ Jesus are free from condemnation. That ought to make you excited. That, you know what it means to be condemned? It means to render useless and ineffective. When a building is condemned, it's not safe to be in because you might fall through the floor or a roof might cave in. And therefore, they condemn that building and they render it useless and ineffective. But there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's another qualification. It says, who walk not after the flesh. Say, not after the flesh. But after the Spirit. Did you know that you can live on two dimensions? You can live according to the flesh, or you can live according to the Spirit. And God gives us that choice. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. These are the two laws that operate in this earth. The law of sin and death operates in the nature of the flesh. And if we live according to that law, we're going to end up dead. It's a dead end. It doesn't go anywhere, and it's vain. But there is another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Did you know that Jesus came to give you abundant life? And his kingdom operates on principles, right? So you can choose to operate according to the principles of the kingdom of God, which is a higher law than the law of sin and death. How many know about the law of gravity? You know, what goes up will come down. If I were to stand on this chair and step off, I'm going to come down. I'm not going to go up because there's a law of gravity. But you know, there's a higher law than gravity called the law of lift. It allows planes to supersede the law of gravity. And the law of lift allows a plane to stay in the air so it can overcome the law of gravity. And we can choose to live according to a higher law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right? And the law of the Spirit of life makes you free. Say, I'm free. I'll tell you what, it's good to be free. And verse 4. The Bible says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What do you pattern your walk after? Are you a morning person or a night person? Well, let me ask you this question before you answer that. What kind of person does God want you to be? See, if you say I'm a morning person, or if you say I'm a night person, you have just put a limit on yourself. If you say you're a night person, then you say you can't get up and get going in the morning. If you say you're a morning person, you can't stay up at night. But what if God needs you to stay up at night? Just say, I'm a Jesus person. Amen? verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What's your mind on? What are you thinking about? Amen? Your mind is the control center of your body. And it's where your mind goes, your body will follow. That's why Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart, because his mind is now thinking about that and his body's going to follow. So, what do you set your mind on? Verse 6. To be carnally minded or fleshly minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? And peace. Well, how many would agree that life and peace is better than death? Amen? And you have a part to play in it. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And he said, I would that you choose life. He gives us a pop quiz and he gives us the answer. I like that. Any test that God gives you is an open book test. He'll never give you a test without giving you the answers. Verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And this is why the devil operates in the realm of the flesh. He works overtime to get you into the flesh. When someone says a nasty thing about you, he wants you to react from the flesh. Because if he can get you into the flesh, he makes you an enemy of God. And you're not subject to the law of God. They tried to do that to Jesus, didn't they? They would accuse him. They would criticize him. They would ask him questions on purpose to try to trip him up. But he stayed in the Spirit. He was mindful of the things, and he never reacted out of the flesh. He always responded from the Spirit. And that's why he was able to answer their thoughts. You know you're in the Spirit when you start answering people's thoughts. The Holy Spirit is the original mind reader, by the way. Anyone else is a counterfeit. Verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Say, cannot please God. So if you are a person who is governed by your flesh, your physical senses, your appetite, your fleshly desires, if you are governed, what does that mean? That means that your flesh dictates to you. It rules you. It leads you. Then you can't please God. Can you think of anybody who was fleshly in the Bible? Rachel had twins in her womb. One was Jacob, one was Esau. Two kingdoms. The Lord spoke to her and said, you have two kingdoms in your womb. It represents the natural and the spiritual. One was Esau, who was a man of the field. He was very rough. He was carnal. He did not even consider his birthright important. He sold his birthright for some soup, for some stew. He said, what is my birthright to me? Then when he wanted to get the blessing, he was deceived and he couldn't get the blessing. And you know, on purpose, he married heathen women to tick off his parents. I can't go into the story, but you can read it, Genesis 25 and 26. But Jacob represents the spiritual nature. All right? Now, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How do you know you're in the Spirit? if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you're a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you know that you're not in the flesh. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, when a person, Gabriel has some of my nature in him, because he came from me. And when you are born into the family of God, you have the nature of God on the inside of you. And that's what he's talking about. If you're born again, you're spiritual. Say, I'm spiritual. In verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sins, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead also quicken your mortal bodies. See, when you got the Spirit of God, you have an edge over your body. You have a personal trainer called the Holy Ghost to live in you, and he'll train your body how to operate in the kingdom of God. In other words, when you don't feel like getting up and you have to get up, your spirit will say, come on, body, get up. Wake up, body, come on. See, we have to change our thinking. We have to be spirit-led now. For years, we were flesh-led. We let our bodies dictate when we eat, when we go to sleep, when we get up, whether we have a bad hair day or a good hair day. You know, you wake up with a bad hair day, you got an attitude, don't you? Well, that's your flesh. You know, the Spirit operates by love. Okay? Why am I reading all these scriptures? Because these led up to verse 14. If you're not doing these, you're not going to experience verse 14. If you're not operating by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's step one. You got to change your laws. Did you know that if you go to a foreign country, you better obey their laws? Because you're on their soil, right? Well, you are citizens of heaven. Heaven operates on a set of different laws than this earth. And Jesus is our perfect example. He lived a perfect life without sin. Now let's get into this being led by the Spirit thing. That means we are going to submit to the Spirit's influence and control. That means we're going to have a willingness. Pull up Isaiah 1:19 for me. Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You'll eat the good of the land. So in order to be led by the Spirit, you've got to be willing and obedient. Say willing and obedient. What if you're unwilling? Then you can't be led. Now, I've said this before. Does anybody know what the theme song in hell is? I've done it my way. You know, get the top hat out. It's true, isn't it? All Christians must now submit to the influence of the Holy Spirit. That means when you're about to do something you shouldn't do, there's going to be a voice, and it's going to say, you shouldn't do that. And it's going to be up to us now whether we listen to that or not. And if we listen to it, we'll hear further instructions. If we don't listen to it, he's not going to give you another instruction. You know, sometimes when we found that we have missed God, we need to go back to what he first told us and start there and do that. When you've gotten to a place where you've missed God, let's back up. You know, when I lose things, if I go back to where I lost it, I'll end up finding it. How many's ever done that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You got to get back to the basics. Do you know that you have an influence from above that is drawing you away from corrupting passions and vanities of this world? What's going to happen to this world? It's going to pass away. You know, like one preacher said, I don't believe in global warming. I believe in a global meltdown. Keith Moore said that. And really, isn't that what the Bible said? I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? So there's going to be some heat. Now, you got to understand, it's the Spirit who does the leading. And as many as allow themselves to be led. Nadine, can I use you as an example? Just follow me where I go, all right? Now, who's doing the leading? Okay? Now, let's switch roles, and I want you to lead, all right? Okay. Sometimes, where we go, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to follow, okay? Because for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't... Thank you very much. You can sit down. It doesn't take a whole lot to get into the flesh. We got this unregenerated flesh that we have to live in. And when your flesh wants something, it wants it. How many has ever heard their body talk to them? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes your body will scream. If you don't believe me, just fast. And don't see if your body talked to you. All of a sudden, when you're fasting, you smell things that you never smelled before. But you know, the more you put your body on hold, the more your spirit is in control. You know, Jesus himself said, I can do nothing of myself. Didn't he? All right. Let's go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want you to see something here. This was a key why Jesus was able to live a perfect life. All right. John chapter 3, let's start with verse 30. John is talking here, and he sees Jesus. He understood what his purpose was. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Notice, Jesus increasing came first. You've got to let Jesus be big in you, and you be small in you. It's a big him and a little you. And don't ever forget that. When you get that out of order, when you think it's a big you and a little him, you're in trouble. You're not letting the flesh lead and guide you. Verse 31. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. So Jesus came from heaven, didn't he? And he was always telling people what he saw and heard in heaven. He was trying to introduce to us a new way of living. All right? He came to restore what was lost. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, didn't he? He was giving us a picture of what is in heaven. He said, I've come to do the will of him who sent me. Me and my Father are one. Now look at verse 33. He that has received his testimony, say received his testimony, hath set his seal that God is true. If you've received his testimony, you've received his word. Okay? For he whom God has sent, he speaks the words of God. For God gives him not the Spirit by measure unto him. So Jesus was able to live a perfect life because he had the Spirit without measure. Now, each one of us, we have a measure of the Spirit We don't have the Spirit without measure. The body of Christ as a whole has the Spirit without measure, but not one individual. We all have parts. Paul said, I see in part, I know in part, but when he that which is perfect will come, you know, some things will be done away with. But I want you to see something here, that the Spirit will never do anything apart from the Word, and the Word will always agree with the Spirit. There will always be perfect unity between the Word and the Spirit. Because he speaks the words of God, and he had the Spirit without measure. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Say, I have everlasting life. You know, everlasting life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you get born again. If you're not born again, you'll enter into everlasting death, which is the second death. And he that believes not the Son, now, the Son and the Word are synonymous, aren't they? If someone comes and they don't believe the Son, they don't believe the Word, they're not going to see life. They're not going to experience the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But the wrath of God abides on him. Okay? Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's look at the role of the Spirit. Jesus dedicated three passages here that we're going to look at, three chapters basically. Let's look at verse 8. Philip told Jesus, he said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Philip missed the point. Jesus and the Father are one, because he had the Spirit without measure. He is God's Son. They had the same nature, the same likeness. He showed them the Father. Verse 10, believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Say, he does the works. In other passages of Scripture, the Bible says, it's him who works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus said, or in Philippians it says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He does the work in us if we just allow him to work. He's got a work to do in you. I still want to make a t-shirt that says, under construction. He's still working in us. Thank God that he hasn't given up. He hasn't quit. Now notice verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Now, belief comes from the Word, doesn't it? And it's up to us. We've got to believe that Jesus is in the Father is in us, and it's Christ in us. He says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me. In other words, you enter into agreement, and the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you enter into the agreement. He that believes on me, that I am in the Father, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Why? Because it's the same Spirit. The same spirit that was in Christ is in us. Isn't that what Romans said? That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? Say, I have the same spirit that was in Jesus. Isn't that good? And it's that spirit in you that causes you to do greater works. You know, I was thinking about that greater works. You know, Jesus was only on earth for 33 and a half years. And he really only had a ministry of 3.5 years. Because he didn't get baptized with the Holy Ghost until he was 30 when he got baptized. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And John saw the Spirit coming on Jesus. And he did his first miracle at the wedding of Cana. So the Bible tells us when his first miracle was done. And that was after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we have the same spirit, so therefore we can do the same works. We have the same spirit and the same word. And when they're together in us, it makes you a powerhouse. And then he says, down in verse 16, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That phrase, another comforter, means someone just like me. "That he may abide with you forever." How long is the Holy Spirit going to be with you? Forever. As long as you don't tick him off. The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Ghost." Now notice, he gives us some clues about who the Spirit is. Verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth." Say, "of truth." The truth and the Spirit are one. He is the Spirit of truth. So he's not going to lead people to lie. He's not going to lead them away from the Word. He's going to lead you in accordance with the Word. That way, when God asks you to do something, he's going to give you a scripture that's going to define the basis for doing that. Challenge God. When the Lord tells you to do something, say, "Lord, where can I find, can you give me a scripture on that, Lord?" He'll be more than happy to help you. Because he's the Spirit of truth. So he's always leading you to the truth. Now, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Because it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The truth may cut you sometimes. It may cut your old belief. You know, Charles Capps called it kicking down over sacred cows. Sometimes we have some sacred cows that this is my sacred cow, and truth will come and knock it over. Did you know that truth is a cow tipper? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive." The world are people who are operated by the law of sin and death. It's enmity against God. Notice it says the world cannot receive him. So if we're worldly in our thinking, we're going to have trouble receiving from the Holy Spirit. Because it sees him not, neither knows him. The world didn't even know Jesus. The Bible says, "The light came in the world, and the world didn't even know the light." But you know him. How do you know him? Because of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is your Lord. And he dwells with you and shall be in you. With you and in you, is that two different things? If someone's with your car or someone in your car, that's two different things. So the Holy Spirit's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you. Let's go down to verse 26. So here's the goal. Well, go to verse 20 and 21. He says, "At that day," talking about the day that he goes back to heaven, "at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." That's the goal. The goal is to be in the Father, to be in Christ, and to have Christ be in you. There's no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. So if you're in Christ, the devil can't even condemn you. He can't accuse you. He can't even curse you. A curse to you will bounce off. You can say, bounces off of me like rubber, or however that goes. You can tell the devil, it bounces off of me and sticks to you like glue or something. I'm messing that phrase up. Anyway, I'm going to move on. So, the goal is you want to be in the Father, and you want Him to be in you, and you in Him. So there's intimate relationship, okay? He that has my commandments, what's His commandments? You're holding His commandments, aren't you? His word. And keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How many want Jesus to manifest himself to you? Well, you got to love his commandments, right? And that's part of being led by the Holy Spirit. You got to love the word. Because who authored the word? Holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Oh, you thought John was the author. No, he was just a scribe. The Holy Ghost was the author, and he was dictating to John what to write. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He told men what to write. So he will never go against the Word. You've got to have the Word and the Spirit together to be led by him, because that's how you're going to know what laws to obey. Ignorance is not an excuse. Oh, I didn't know that was a law, officer. Sorry, you're getting a ticket. But aren't you glad that God gave us his law written down so that we could refer back to it? And aren't you glad it's simple to understand? God is so awesome because he used Koine Greek. When Alexander the Great conquered the known world at that time, he made everybody learn Greek. That's what the New Testament was written in. So you didn't have to know Latin. You didn't have to know these other languages. Everybody knew Greek, from the most intellectual to the most simple. Everybody knew Greek because God wants everybody to know his word. He makes it simple. All right? Let's go to verse 26. See, you got to know some things about the Holy Spirit in order for him to lead you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, say Comforter. He'll make you all warm inside. And oftentimes, when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, you could feel a warmth come on you. You know, when you feel to give a word, either a prophecy or in tongues, he's a comforter. Say, the Holy Spirit's not scary. He's a comforter. That's another thing. When the Holy Spirit leads you, there's going to be peace, comfort. Inside here, not out here. You could have turmoil out here, but you could have peace in here. How do I know that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You don't think being thrown into a furnace is turmoil? But yet, what did they had a party in a furnace. Now, the furnace was turned 7 times hotter than it normally was. And they were able to dance in the midst of the furnace because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them, so the Holy One had to join them. He was with them. He was with them in the fire. And thank God, he's not only with us and in us in the New Testament. The Comforter. He'll never lead you apart from comfort. So if you're struggling with something, seek peace and pursue it. Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. So we know that the Father sends him. In my name, he's representative of Christ. He has his character, his nature. He shall teach you all things. Say, teach you all things. You know, if you don't know the law, how can you operate in it? But thank God he sent one to teach you. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So he'll always bring the word to your remembrance. Because what God said is his word, isn't it? So he'll help you remember what Jesus said. He'll teach you all things. Jesus will send him to you. Aren't you glad Jesus sent him to you? He assigned him to you. That's why, because it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's the answer to 1,000 questions. Be led. Does that mean reaching my pocket for some sinkers? You know, because oftentimes, I used to do this. Someone asked me to do something and say, well, you know, I just don't feel led. I don't feel led. Well, here's a couple of sinkers. You can feel led there. How does it feel? You know, I'm reading the book of Joshua again. And a group came to Joshua called the Gibeonites. Or they were from the city of Gibeon. They were supposed to be conquered by Joshua because they were in the land of Canaan. But they disguised themselves. They put on raggedy clothes. They got old wineskins and stale bread. And they came to Joshua wanting to enter into a treaty with him. And I found something interesting. The Bible said Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. So he entered into a treaty because they told him they came from a far journey. We came so far that our clothes wore out, our bread became stale, and our wineskins rotted. But it was all an act. 3 days after he made the treaty with them, he found out that they were neighbors of the same country. And they said, why did you deceive me? And they said, well, because we were fearful. We wanted to save our life. But Joshua now had to protect them when he was supposed to conquer them because he didn't inquire of the Lord. In other words, he wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the Old Testament, and the way that they would inquire of the Lord, they would either seek the prophet or the priest, or they would do the Urim and the Thummim. Gideon, he put out a fleece. We're not led by fleeces. We're not led by open and closed doors. We're led by the Spirit. And the Spirit has a voice. And the Spirit knows how to communicate to you. He's in you. Sometimes we just need to quiet our minds and listen to what he's saying. When I read that, I was like, Lord, I'm not making any major decision unless I seek you first. Because how many know? He's got your best interest in heart. He knows what's good for you, and he knows what's bad for you. We're going to find out there were times when the Holy Spirit told Paul, don't preach the gospel in Asia. It was the Holy Spirit that prevented him from preaching in a place. Why? We don't know the reason, but he had another place for him. He wanted him to go to Macedonia. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke to Peter while he was on the rooftop and he saw that vision of the sheet coming down from heaven. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go with these men. Don't ask any questions. So he went, and that was how Cornelius got filled with the Holy Ghost, because Peter listened to the voice of the Spirit. He'd have missed an opportunity. So this is why it's important in this day, in this hour that we're living in. You know, to all the 7 churches in Revelation, you know how they ended? If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You know, there's a lot of people who have become dull to the Holy Spirit. They don't listen to him. They don't take time. They don't honor him. And they're led astray. If the Holy Spirit's not leading you, who's leading you? You know, you're not to be led by needs either. Just because someone has a need, that need should not dictate to you. You're not to be led by needs. There were all kinds of people with needs in Jesus' day, but not all got their needs met because he was led by the Holy Spirit. So you got to be careful. Don't let this external stuff be your guide. It's the Holy Spirit who's been given to us to guide us into all truth. He's our only guide because he knows everything. These external things, feelings, external things, you got to be careful because there is deception in the world. There are things that will purposely deceive you to lead you away from what God had for you. The rich young ruler. Lord says, he says, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Obey the commandments. Oh, yeah. Whew. Yeah, I did that. I do all that. Okay. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Give away everything you have and come and follow me. He was offering him to be a disciple. All right. But he loved his things more than he loved the Lord. So he was led by the loss of his things. He said, no, I'm not going to get into that. Does that mean God doesn't want us to have stuff? No. He gives us all good things to what? Freely enjoy. He freely gives us all things to enjoy. Say, God gives us things to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to have things. As long as those things don't have you, you're okay. But what is leading us? What is guiding us? What is motivating us? Faith works by love. If we're not motivated by love, then we're going to have problems in the faith arena. Love never fails, does it? Love can take a lot of stuff, can't it? So, you know, when we follow the Holy Spirit, we'll be led to the blessing. Amen? Say this. Say, Father, I purpose in my heart that I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to his voice, and I'm going to be willing and obedient to go where he wants me to go, to do what he wants me to do, and to be who he wants me to be, in Jesus' name. Because we're going to discover that it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. You mean the Holy Spirit will lead me into a hard place? Yeah. He wants to see what kind of person you are. He wants to see what's in your heart. And the only place to tell what's in your heart is the wilderness. Are you really trusting God when you don't have anything else to trust in? Oh, yeah. Guess what? If you haven't been through a wilderness, you will. If Jesus went through a wilderness, guess what? You and I are going to experience a wilderness too. But who's leading you will either lengthen or shorten your stay in the wilderness. Yes. Yes, that's the doing of it. Yes. Yes. Amen. Praise God for my wise, anointed wife. You know, I don't know if everybody knows it or not, but Fiona is also an ordained minister as well. She got ordained, was it last year or this year? Last year. Yeah, last year. And just a funny thing. The night that she got ordained, we were heading to the Applebee's in Hummelstown. And you know, it's a 4-lane road. Well, we were heading to Applebee's and there was a car in our lane heading to us. I've driven that way for years, never had that happen, but that night, so I just simply turned the wheel and I think God woke him up or whatever, but he was in my lane heading for me. I'm thinking, boy, that's kind of weird. The headlights are not in the lane that they should be. But I tell you what, if we just learn how to be led, it'll transform your life. Amen? You know how I ended up in Palmyra? The Holy Ghost. I didn't even know Palmyra existed. But God said, I want you to go. And I said, okay. And so here I am. And amen? So God wants to lead you in your family, as an individual, in your career. You know? I mean, we have plans and ideas, don't we? And then when we line up our plans and ideas with God's plans, something isn't fitting. Go with God's plan. It's better. God bless you. So we'll study this again next week.